Back in the book of Acts again. Chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And I told you Wednesday night, I want to study on when they chose the deacons. I want to go a little deeper on that. So we'll save that for Wednesday night. And we're going to pick up back at that in a little bit. But Acts chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue," which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen." Maybe I can blame that on my glasses, right? Amen. All right. "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And then they suborned men which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, 'This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us.' And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, 'Are these things so?'" Boy, he gave an open door here. You know, for a man like Stephen, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was on fire for God. And "are these things so?" So Stephen takes off with a sermon. Really and truly is what took place. Verse 2, "And he said, 'Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham, and when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan," however you want to say that. "And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And he spake on this wise, that this seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." Now, he was talking about the promised land. Now, I'm not going to read all of this for sake of all 60 verses. I urge you when you get home to read chapter 7, because chapter 7, really and truly, Stephen, when he started with Abraham and he went all the way down through the line. And he told them all about this, the things that taken place. He talks about Abraham. He goes into Joseph. He talks about Pharaoh, them coming out of Egypt, the souls that were saved out of there, and he goes through the whole nine yards. And he basically, Stephen did more than just serve as a deacon, okay? Stephen was a preacher of the Word of God. Now, there are some deacons I know that do that. They go out and they preach. They call them laymen. and they go out and they preach at different churches. They feel God has called them to do that, and they go out and they serve the Lord in that manner. Stephen was doing this when he was arrested, and he got in front of this group of people, and he started preaching the Word of God, and he went from Abraham all the way down to Jesus. And it cost him a bunch. He preached a powerful sermon to these people. He reviewed their history, actually is what he was doing. And they didn't like their history. One thing he did, he proved to them that as a nation, they had sinned against God greatly. They really had. They had sinned against God greatly, and he brought that to them. And boy, they got bent out of shape with that. He brought it to them, proved to them that they had been privileged to have the glory of God, but they no longer had the glory of God. It went away. Go to 1 Samuel. Hang on to Acts. Go back there to 1 Samuel. That's right before Kings and all of that stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we'll read in verse 19. 1 Samuel 4, verse 19. He says, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. That's one spot that at that time during the tabernacle that, listen, the Israelites were not living right. They were not serving God the way they should be serving God. And the glory of God left them. That's a bad way to be. Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 10. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 10. That's Old Testament. Verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Now go to verse 18 of chapter 10. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. It departed from the temple of God. God departed from the tabernacle. He got fed up with them. He got fed of their life. He pulled out of the temple. The second time, that was the second time. The third time is when they rejected Christ. You see, Jesus came and they rejected God's glory in the fact that they rejected Jesus Christ. The Israelites have went through years and years of, they went into the promised land and they were living right and they were having the rest and all of that, as we were talking about this morning. But then they got away from God. They followed the idol worship stuff. They did all the wrong things, and God pulled away from them because of what they were doing. Stephen brought this to their attention, and they didn't like that. Look at verse 51 of chapter 7 of Acts. 51, he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. That's tough to be telling them. They didn't like hearing that. He was telling them the truth, but they didn't like hearing it. Now, 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? In other words, listen, you got the law from the angels, from God and Moses on Mount Sinai, but you haven't kept it. What you've done is entangled all of your traditional man-made mess within it, where can nobody keep it anyway, and it's all about you. And you've just rejected Jesus altogether. If they hadn't have never done what all they've done, going away from God, they would have been able to see God in the Scriptures. Because they had some of the Scriptures. And they would have been able to see Jesus in all of those Scriptures. They would have listened to Moses, they would and understood the fact that Abraham's son, through his lineage, through Abraham's lineage, that the entire world would be blessed. And what else did they do? They turned around and, see, God had them as a chosen people. But that didn't make everybody else useless. But according to them, it did. That was the way they decided to do it. But God says, no. They were to be an example of what a people is like if they're obeying the Almighty God. But they took it the extra step and they didn't offer it. They didn't even live it the way they were supposed to live it. And God says, hey, I'm going to pull away from you. I'm not going to have anything to do with you, which he did that. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were angry. Boy, they just like, I'm going to get you. You know, they were seriously to the point of, hey, we're going to kill you. It had already come into their mind. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to accept it in their hearts, and nor did they want to bow their stiff necks to God. They didn't want to give in to that. They refused that. He told them basically, he said, listen, you've killed the prophets. You guys, you killed all the prophets. They allowed John the Baptist to be killed. It was them that allowed it to happen. And then they did what? Nailed Jesus to the cross. They murdered the Son of God. All because they were stiff-necked and did not want to hear. But now what were they about to do? They were about to martyr the first Christian. You see, Israel condemned itself, really, in the fact that they killed John the Baptist, they sinned against God. In the fact that they killed Jesus Christ, they sinned against God the Son. And in the fact that they were about to kill this man here, Stephen, they were sinning against the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had come in and empowered this group of people to preach the Word of God, to preach Jesus to them, to eliminate all of this other mess. As Paul says, they took all the ordinances and all that special stuff of the Judaism and nailed it to the cross. The veil was rent from top to bottom. They didn't need a priest anymore. Well, guess what? The Pharisees became useless, didn't they? They didn't like that idea. They didn't like the idea. They couldn't sport around anymore. Well, look at me. I'm a Pharisee. You know, Sadducees were sad. You see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Listen, if I didn't believe in the resurrection, I'd be sad. Because you just die and the worms eat you. But hey, I don't have to worry about it. When I die, boom, I go to heaven. My body will lay here in the grave, but I'm going to heaven. Amen? I don't have to worry about it. Now, let's go a little further. He says, 55.
But he,
that's talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, it plainly states that when Jesus left here and went to heaven, he did what on the right hand of God? He sat down. But this is a beautiful picture of Jesus standing and receiving one of his saints. Because he's fixing to go to heaven. 56. And Stephen again. Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Oh, look at verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. When Stephen said, oh, look, I see the heavens open. And if you remember, his face was already shining like an angel. Now, I don't know what an angel shines like because I ain't never had one come in the room and shine at me. But I would say it was bright. It was whatever that they could see. And he looked up and he said, oh, I see Jesus. And immediately they got mad and they stopped their ears. You ever did that? You know, when you was a kid, la, 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 la. You put your fingers in your ears. They didn't want to hear him anymore. They were done with him and they ran upon him with one accord. In other words, they were all together. They said, we're going to do away with you. Verse 58. And cast him out of the city. They, in other words, they carried him out. And stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Here he is. They've carried him out there. They've thrown him down. They're stoning him, and he says, he's on his knees, and he's talking about Jesus. And what did he say right there? He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew he was going to die. And he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But now listen what he said. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Do you want me to tell you why he could do that? Why in the world could a man or a woman that is being beaten, stoned, burned at the stake, whatever it might be, ask forgiveness for those that are doing that? Because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. Listen, I wouldn't do it on my own. Somebody's beating or stoning me. I'm not going to say, hey, Lord, forgive them. No, I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing. I may be throwing rocks back if I can. But see, we don't read where Stephen fought back. We read where Stephen just says, okay, Lord, I'm on my way home. Take me. And by the way, God, forgive them. Don't lay this sin against them. Who said that before that? Jesus did. Hanging on the cross, Jesus Christ said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, they didn't know what they were doing when they killed Jesus, and they didn't know what they were doing when they killed Stephen. But let me ask you a question. What kind of people would do that to a good, godly person? But think about that today. We have people that do that today. They kill people that stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and never think twice about it. They don't care. They know not what they do, though, to be honest with you. You see, they need the Lord Jesus, and they'd understand that big time. What a testimony it was to a certain person, though. It says that when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, before I get to something, I want you to understand. When a Christian dies, his body goes to the grave, okay? This in here don't mean he falls asleep. It means he died. But he went straight to heaven, because to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Now, one of these days when Jesus comes back to rapture us, our spirit, if I die before Jesus comes back, my spirit will be with Him. My body will be off down here somewhere, wherever the wife chunks me at. And guess what? That body's going to come up and it's going to meet my spirit, and it'll be changed to an incorruptible body. I'll be able to walk through the wall and sit down and eat a cheeseburger. I'll be just like Jesus. I'll have that perfected body, that incorruptible body, what do you call it? Mortal, immortal? I always get it mixed up. Mortal body. I'll have that body that won't have no problems. Immortal body, excuse me. That's what I'll have. Listen, I'm looking forward to that day. Man, that'll be good. I need all the cheeseburgers I want. Don't have to worry about weight. Martin, you won't have any blood problems. The sugar problem. John won't either. He'd be able to eat bread finally. You'd eat fish and chips. Sammy said that's fries. I don't know. But, you know, hey, that'll be good. That's what I'm looking forward to. We don't have to worry about it. Now, let me go back, though, to that one piece there. Because this is where we're going to start at Sunday. Verse 58. And cast him out to the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, you remember the other day I told you that the church, oh, they were doing a lot of things the Lord told them to do. They were preaching the Word. They were, souls were being saved and coming into the church. But what did Jesus tell them to do before He left? He said, you preach, you teach everywhere. Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. They ain't stepped foot out of Jerusalem. Been several years to this point. They ain't left Jerusalem yet. What are they not doing? They're not spreading the gospel. They done got all happy where they were at, and they were doing great. They wasn't doing... God has a way of getting His point across. This young man right here, we're going to start reading Sunday. He's dead serious about what he's doing. And he scatters them everywhere. But I want to tell you something. This verse right here is very important. Because over in Acts 9, this young man gets saved. And what he stood there and witnessed with Stephen had a lot to do with why he got saved. It was a testimony to him. When a Christian dies, it's not a... You know, I used to think, why, God, do you let some of these people get persecuted to death? Why? I don't get it. I don't understand why Stephen would have died as a young man that was preaching. I don't understand why Jim Elliot and his four buddies went over to, I don't even know where the place is, to present the gospel, and the people killed them. 1956. To me, it was like, why? But hey, God ain't going to waste our life. If we're living for the Lord and doing what we're supposed to be doing, it's not going to waste our life. Stephen died a martyr. He died a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul, not too far from there, not too long after that, got saved. And what a man Saul became. He became the Apostle Paul that wrote most of the New Testament. Jim Elliot and his group that went over to the, if I didn't pronounce it right, the Achaeus, I think is what they call them, A-U-C-A-S, they killed them. They were going in there to present the gospel, and they killed them. But do you know that today there's Christians there because of what Jim Elliot and his four comrades did? Their life was not a waste. It really isn't. Because people saw that, hey, they were willing to die for what they're teaching. So Stephen was a good man. Stephen was doing what the Lord told him to do. And I really believe, because of his death, that the Apostle Paul received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. We never know what our life is going to do for somebody else or what our death may do for somebody else. It's so important that we stick to God's Word and that we do what God asks us to do. Let's stand. We'll have a verse of invitation.